The Gospel Easy as 1, 2, 3, Part 4, Be Baptized. Since the Gospel is the power of God unto salvation, as we read in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, each step of obedience to that Gospel is essential. In this lesson, we will learn about water baptism. Does it really matter if I get baptized or not? Isn't it an option? Isn't it something that you can do if you want to, a good thing, but not really necessary? Well, look at Acts chapter 10, verse 48. We read about this story where Peter preached to Cornelius and his household and gave them the gospel. Look what it says. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. He did not suggest that Cornelius and his household be baptized. Peter didn't recommend it. He commanded them to do it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 says, the like figure whereunto, even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did you see what that said? Even baptism doth also now save us. Now, if we take away the fancy King's English, that said, baptism saves us. Baptism saves us. In other words, baptism is not something that you do just to show that you already got saved. It's a part of it. Now, would I say that baptism is the only thing that we need for salvation? Of course not. This scripture cannot be taken all by itself, but neither can any other scripture in the Bible. They all have to go together. This is part of salvation. Baptism saves us. Mark chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus told his disciples, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. According to this verse, to be saved, we must believe and be baptized. What is the function of baptism? Why is it so important? Why is it part of being saved? Well, in Acts 2:38, Peter explained it. It says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? For an outward show? For a demonstration to the public? No. For the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So what is baptism for? It's for the remission of sins. Now, to remit means to pay a debt. You know, like you get your electric bill in the mail, and it says, please remit $250 by August 1st. And that's the debt. You owe them that, and you've got to remit that debt. Now, what if you just said, oh, okay, I see, I shouldn't be using so much electricity, so I'll cut back, or even completely turn it off and stop using electricity. Does that mean you don't owe that anymore? No, you still have to remit that debt even after you stop using the electricity. Well, when we repent, we stop the sin, but the debt that we've already accumulated still has to be paid. We remit the debt that we owe. We get remission of those sins when we're water baptized in Jesus' name. Okay, so I can see that it's important for me to get baptized, but does it matter how? I mean, as long as I do something and call it baptism, isn't that good enough? Well, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5 says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We know we can't hop around from Lord to Lord, from Jesus to some other Lord. There's only one Lord. Well, just like that, there's only one acceptable baptism. So we need to make sure that we get it right. We're going to check for the right method of baptism by looking for scriptural instruction and also scriptural example. In other words, what does the Bible say about it and what did the apostles do about it? The first thing that we find that's done different ways sometimes in baptism, some baptize by immersion, putting people all the way underwater. Some baptize by sprinkling, just taking a handful of water, putting it on the forehead and say you're baptized. Now, when I was born, my family went to a church like that, and they baptized babies by sprinkling. So I was baptized as a newborn baby. They took a handful of water, put it on my forehead, and I went through the rest of my life up till I was a teenager, feeling like I had been baptized. But when I got to be about 15, God got a hold of me and I started really seeking the Lord. And I learned some things in the Bible that we're going to look at right now. Look at John chapter 3, verse 23. It's talking about John the Baptist here, and it says, John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. John the Baptist chose this place for what reason? Because there was much water. Now, you don't need much water to sprinkle. Just get you a little basin and take it a handful at a time. So John the Baptist wasn't sprinkling people. He needed much water to baptize the way he was doing it. In Acts chapter 8, we have the Ethiopian eunuch who was baptized by Philip. And look how it describes it here in 38 and 39. It says, they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Lord called away Philip. The Spirit of the Lord called away Philip. So we see that these men had to go into the water for Philip to baptize the eunuch. Now, this man was on a journey through the desert. No doubt he had water there with him. If all Philip needed was a handful, they could have baptized him just along the way. But leading up to this verse, we find the man saying, look, here's water. I can get baptized here. And they went down into it and baptized him in the water. In Matthew 3:16 is where Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and it says when he was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water, here again describing baptism taking place in a body of water. Now, there is no Bible example of anyone ever being sprinkled at all. The only Bible descriptions have people going into the water and put under the water. In fact, the word baptized is not a fancy word. It's not a religious word. It's not a word about a ritual. It's really originally a simple Greek word, baptizo, which just means to put something underwater. It means to immerse or submerge. If you were washing the dishes and you were rinsing in a thing of standing water, every time you put a bowl under the water, if you spoke that version of Greek, you would say you baptize the bowl. You baptize the spoon and the fork. You're not trying to get it saved. You're just putting it underwater. That's all the word baptized means. It means to put it underwater. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 is where it said we are buried with him by baptism into death. You remember we read that before? So baptism is how we are buried with Jesus. When Jesus was buried, he went completely into the tomb. Now, what if they had stopped halfway with his head and shoulders sticking in the tomb and his legs and feet sticking out of the tomb? You wouldn't be able to say he was buried, would you? If you didn't go all the way into the ground, you can't say he's buried. Now, if somebody did not go completely into the water, can you really say they were baptized? Baptized means to put them completely under the water. So the correct Bible way to baptize is not by sprinkling, it is by immersion. Now, the other thing that you find that can vary from one place to another is the name used in baptism. So what about the name? Is this really important? What name should we use in the one acceptable baptism? Well, Acts chapter 4, verse 12 is talking about Jesus, and it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That verse said that we must be saved by a name, and that there is only one name that can do that saving. Now look at Matthew 28:19. A lot of people baptize saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And they reference Matthew chapter 28:19. But let's look carefully at it. Jesus told his disciples in this verse, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now, he did say the words, Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, but did he tell his disciples to baptize in a name or in names? Did it say names, plural? No, it says the name, singular, one name. Now, he went on to recite three titles. Really, none of those are names, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But he told them, you need to know what is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and you need to use that name. He didn't say to baptize saying the words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He said to baptize in the one name that is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Well, what is that name? I'll tell you how we can find out. These men he gave this instruction to, they went out and did some baptizing, and they did use one name. So what is that one name that the disciples baptized in? I've got a list here of Bible verses. These are the only scriptures in the Bible that describe what name was used when people were baptized. Let's look these verses up and see how they describe the name. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, now look at Acts chapter 8, verse 16. This one says they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now look at Acts 10:48. It says he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Acts chapter 19, verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then in Acts chapter 22, verse 16, telling Paul to get baptized, says, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So we have name of Jesus Christ, name of the Lord Jesus, name of the Lord, name of the Lord Jesus again, and name of the Lord again. So what is that name? What is that name that they're talking about in every one of these places? That name is Jesus. You see, I'm a father, but when I write a check, I can't sign father. I'm an associate pastor, but when I write a check, I can't sign associate pastor. I'm a husband, but when I write a check, I can't sign husband. I may have a number of titles, but those titles don't carry my power. When I write a check, I've got to sign my name or that check won't have any power. So I write on there, Christian Richardson, and the name gives the check power. It's the name Jesus that gives baptism power when you are water baptized. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 said, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Thank God for the opportunity to have our sins washed away in the waters of baptism.